Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, whenever you're listening, and welcome to Tri-State at the Plate. I'm your host, Andy Burdick, and alongside me, as always, is the Raggedy Ann to my Raggedy Andy, Bob Finkbeiner.
Wow.
And of course, the conductor of this runaway train is our producer, Jason Ruggiero.
Good to be here.
So, MLB medical director Dr. Gary Green cited a statistic that one in every 250,000 pitches results in a line drive to a pitcher's head. How would that make you feel as a pitcher stepping onto the bump?
Bob, former pitcher?
I guess the odds of avoiding that danger is still pretty good, but it would still give me a little pause for concern.
Yeah, that'd make me nervous.
Yeah.
I'd definitely be keeping a pitch count. I'd have someone keep track. Hey, yes. When we get to 250,000 pitches, I'm out.
No more.
I'm done.
Because
retiring.
Because I know nothing of statistics and how they work.
Yeah, exactly.
On today's show, we're going to talk about what's going on with each of our organizations. Specifically, we've got some big roster cuts as we are approaching the start of the regular season. We're going to keep this one kind of short today, but we're going to try and catch you up on everything that's going on. So we're going to be starting off with Detroit, going to Pittsburgh, and wrapping up with the Tribe. So let's start off with Bob and what's going on in Detroit's camp right now.
Okay, quick rundown of the organization the past week or so. Personal favorite, Jeff Cabernas, has been returned to the Washington Nationals. The
sad face.
It was sad. They were unable to work out a trade, and as a result, Cabernas is back to the original club. Another Rule 5 pick, though, Kyle Lopstein, has been optioned to Erie after working out a trade, which saw Kurt Casale go to Tampa Bay. Alvisel Garcia has hit the 15-day deal, retroactive to March 22nd. Don Kelly, local native, has made the roster, as well as Matt Tuiasosopo. So you have basically two guys of similar abilities, first base, outfield, utility players on the roster. As a result, Quinton Berry has been optioned back to Toledo, and he took the news very hard, but sent some playful texts back to Don Kelly congratulating him, and we'll see him soon, I'm sure.
I was just going to ask, do you think that it made sense for them to send a guy like Quinton Berry down and keep a guy like Tuiasosopo? Because Berry brings a particular skill that I don't think anyone else on their team really has outside of Austin Jackson.
It's called running.
Yeah, running, speed. Yeah, and with the emphasis on the running coach this year, I don't understand why you wouldn't keep someone around that has outfield eligibility. I mean, they can play the outfield spot, run. I mean, they still have Cabrera and Victor Martinez. Run the bases. I don't get it. I don't know. But apparently Dombrowski had actually tried to acquire Tuiasosopo last fall on the run to win the American League pennant and was unable to acquire him. When Seattle released him, Detroit signed him back in November.
Torrid love affair with Tuiasosopo, apparently.
I guess so.
I guess. Now, let me ask you this, because Jason and I are going to the Seawolves home opener next week. What is that, the 4th? April 4th against?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Altoona? Yeah. Next Thursday.
Thursday, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who are some guys that we might be seeing when we're going to the Seawolves game that we should be kind of keeping an eye on? Outside of Raleigh Bishop, who's my personal favorite, I always keep an eye on Raleigh Bishop. Just like to see. I hope he's back. I haven't seen if he's on the roster yet.
I'm not saying myself. You should see probably 4 to 5 players that we have ranked on the top 20 prospects entering 2013. Expected to begin this season, center field is Daniel Fields. I wanted a corner spot. You should see Tyler Collins. Up the middle of the infield, second and short, you should see guys like Hernan Perez and Harold Castro. And behind the plate, you're going to see most likely one of two guys, either James McCann or the guy they acquired in the Andy Oliver deal, Ramon Cabrera. So those are about the 5 guys I think you'll see on being with Erie entering 2013 season to keep an eye on. The other major news was that the heir apparent closer is on pause as he's being sent back down to Toledo to join Nick Castellanos. And the organization has announced they will begin the season with a closer-by-committee approach.
Jim Leland decided his heart was not ready to watch Bruce Rondon.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are a lot of hitters in the Central, too, that are going, whew, we're glad our batting helmets don't have to be impact-tested up to 102 miles an hour.
Mike Avilas has stopped running as many wind sprints because he's not going to have to jump up and chase the ball to the backstop quite as often. Alex Avila.
Yeah, until Mike Rondon Avilas comes back to Detroit, expect to see some combination most likely of Phil Koch, Joaquin Benoit, and Octavio Dotel with that ninth inning roll.
That makes it so hard for fantasy owners. Just, you have no idea who to pick.
Forget about the Tigers if you're a fantasy owner.
Yeah, and last two things is Rick Porcello did officially win the fifth spot in rotation, sending Drew Smiley to a bullpen role in long relief. And finally, the last cut was made today. They are keeping Ramon Santiago as the utility infielder and sending Danny Worth down to Toledo.
So if your fantasy strategy was to keep Rick Porcello because he's going to be named the Tigers closer, wrong.
Yes, he's in a rotation still where he should be.
Boy, you were, I don't know what
that
you
was
were
a gamble.
Doing. If that, that was your fantasy strategy, your team's in trouble this year. Well, let's go to Pittsburgh's camp. Pittsburgh narrowed down their roster. They have their 25-man roster ready to go. Their rotation's going to be Burnett and Wandy at the top, James McDonald, the third starter, and then shockingly, Jonathan Sanchez is going to be the fourth starter. He had a lights out a couple starts. Pittsburgh doesn't want to cut him loose, so they're going to give him a shot as kind of a low risk. Like, hey, Jonathan Sanchez, remember that time that you were good and you pitched a good game? Let's see if you can do that more.
Do you think it's too early to take bets on how long Sanchez remains in the rotation?
Oh, I would.
What do you think, Jason?
I've taken the under on a month.
I was going to say a month would be my over under, and I probably would take the under on that.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I can't imagine that going well. So, Kyle McPherson, keep your arm loose. And then our rotation was rounded out by Jeff Locke, who beat out Kyle McPherson for the fifth spot in the rotation. I think it was more kind of Kyle McPherson lost his spot more than Jeff Locke beat him out, because McPherson just, I don't know. And with a couple games I watched that McPherson pitched, he started out really well. He was throwing a hammer curve. He was locating fine. It just seemed like it was the second time that he went through the lineup. You know, the hitters had had a real feel for him and kind of took him to the woodshed. So our rotation was all set. Our bullpen's going to be, you know, Jason Greely at the end with Jared Hughes and Mark Melanson. We have Chris LaRue.
By the way, sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, hey, please, no.
Today is Mark Melanson's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Mark. Mark Melanson, birthday shout out. Today is March 28th, so that's his birthday.
Yes.
Commit that to memory.
Yeah, that's a special day. His mother is very happy. So we have Tony Watson, Justin Wilson, and then here you go, guys, Trab fans, Genmar Gomez.
Hey.
Welcome to... Oh, that's a big oh boy.
That's a big oh boy.
Welcome to the Pittsburgh Pirates, Genmar Gomez.
And what role is he filling for you?
Oh, hopefully bat boy.
I don't think so.
I didn't see the bat boy in parentheses next to his name, so I'm assuming he's actually going to be pitching in some capacity. Although I would settle for bat boy or water boy.
Have fun with that.
BP pitcher.
And this is why guys like Brian Morris are going to go down to AAA. Just get their arms loose and then you're taking a trip to Pittsburgh, buddy. So catchers, Russell Martin, Michael McHenry, no surprise there. We had Gabby Sanchez, Neil Walker, Clint Barmas, Pedro Alvarez, John McDonald, and Josh Harrison for right now. We've also stashed Brandon Inge on the DL, and I don't know if they've made that move official yet, but that seems to be the general consensus of what's going to happen. So that kind of opened up that final roster spot for Josh Harrison, and I think we'd actually talked about that on the last podcast as well. But so Harrison's on the roster right now, but Pittsburgh's going to kind of have to figure out what they want to do when Inge comes off the DL. And then in our outfield, we had Starling Marte, Kutch, Travis Snyder, Garrett Jones, and Jose Tabata. No real big surprises there. The only other things that were really of note, after McPherson went into Hurdle's office and learned of his demotion, he politely declined to comment on his assignment. They said politely declined. So, you know, you could tell he was kind of a little disappointed, but I think he probably understands that he's still kind of a work in progress. And if he keeps progressing the way that he's supposed to, he'll be back up there in no time. And Alex Presley was a little more vocal of his disappointment in not making the roster. He said that this was the best spring that he's felt he's ever had, and he worked on all the things that he wanted to work on. And the stats did kind of show that, where he was more patient at the plate. He, you know, that was one of the big things that they wanted him to develop. So, you know, if he goes down and he shows that he has the plate discipline, Clint Hurdle refuses to put anyone in the two hole that gets on base. So if he can come up and get on base, I guess they'll probably try and slot him in there.
Probably bat him eighth then, since Clint Hurdle refuses.
Just refuses. I don't know why. I've been saying since last, Neil Walker needs to be in that two hole because someone needs to be on base when Andrew McCutchen is coming up to bat, and You know, last year was Alex Presley and his 300 on base. It looks like this year we're going to get marginally better. I still think he's going to end up sticking with Russell Martin in the two hole instead of Walker, but
nothing like clogging those bases.
It's gonna drive me nuts when, you know, Russell Martin gets on with a single and Andrew McCutchen hits a triple and has to stay on first because Russell Martin's still not around second yet. But whatever. I guess we'll see how that goes as the season.
As opposed to the Indians' newfangled speed lineup.
Yeah, where everybody's fast.
Where Nick Swisher's the slowest guy.
So that's it from Pirates camp. Let's go to Jason and hear what's going on with the Tribe.
Well, that's all nice. You guys got your rosters all finalized, nice and neat, and everything's in order. The Indians...
Not as simple, huh?
It's not quite as simple as that. They, if you remember, there was, you know, there's going to be an odd man out, and did we take a 13-man pitching staff in? And so what happened is they said that Rayburn, Aviles, and Marcin made the team on the bench, and Carrasco will start the season on the 25-man roster, but Kazmir will be the fifth starter, and then Hill, Hagedorn, Allen too, but Albers and Shaw all are in the bullpen. So you might ask yourself, how will this all play out? Well, Jason Giambi came up with a back injury just in time
because he's on the
disabled list to make room for the eighth reliever. Carlos Carrasco will serve his suspension for the first six games of the year, which means that Kazmir will start in the minor leagues, but he'll have to be optioned up before the fifth game of the year, which I think is April 6th, when he gets to face his old mates, the Tampa Bay Rays, down in Tampa. So the question becomes, we start with an 8-man bullpen, a 3-man bench, a fifth starter that we can't use, and we have to option someone up before. So how's this going to happen? Well, Kazmir obviously will be optioned up before that fifth start because they need him to make that. So either Brian Shaw will get sent to the minors, reducing the number in the bullpen. Shaw still has an option. It's possible, although it really wouldn't help, and everyone's saying that he's fine, but Asdrubal Cabrera has come up with a little bit of a back strain too, so it'll be... Maybe that might factor in somehow as Drupal needs some time off. Though, again, everyone's saying he's just fine. Another possibility is trading Matt Albers, which I think the Indians are privately exploring right now. They have a lot of middle relief help down in the minor leagues. Matt Albers really hasn't been that impressive this spring. And apparently the Dodgers are dangling Chris Capuano for middle relief help.
Ooh.
So if that's something that's actually existing and not just, you know, part of the rumor mill, I think Chris Antonetti would really be interested in swinging something with that. So we'll see. But somehow Kazmir will start April 6th and Jason Giambi will be on this team eventually after Carrasco serves his suspension. He will get sent down and Giambi will return. I think he's eligible to return April 9th. And Giambi has proclaimed loudly over and over again that he will be 100% by April 9th, which makes it kind of curious that he suddenly developed a back injury.
Magically.
Yeah, magically.
Medical doctor Jason Giambi is declaring his own health in the future.
He said he's 100% sure he'll be fine.
Well, let me ask you this. As a Pirates fan, I get used to watching a team that, for a very long time, just collected junk from around other teams. Like, we'd go sign Derek Bell, or we'd go... You know, trade for Matt Morris or
Kevin Young.
We had two rounds with Kevin Young. So, with Scott Kazmir, what's your feeling on Scott Kazmir? Are you excited because his velocity's been up a tick and apparently everything's looking a little more copacetic this spring? How do you feel about him in your rotation?
I'm pretty optimistic right now, but I guess that would be guarded optimism. His velocity has returned, but there's always the mystery of why, what happened. You know, he's never suffered a major arm injury, and his velocity and the movement on his pitches just literally vanished. And then for no apparent reason, after what, almost 2 years out of professional baseball, it's back. So it's guarded optimism. And I heard Kevin Kennedy, who used to be part of the Rays organization, on Sirius XM the other day. And so he has a little bit of firsthand experience with Kazmir because Kazmir was developing down there when he was part of the Rays. And he made the point that he has not seen Kazmir pitch. But his belief, I guess, was it's all about the slider with Kazmir. You know, if Kazmir can throw his slider, then he can be a devastating pitcher. If he can throw his changeup, he can be a really devastating pitcher. If he doesn't have either of those, his fastball is not going to cut it. So I guess going forward, that's what we'll look for. I mean, Kazmir requested to pitch in a B game to work on his slider and left the game declaring that everything's fine. I saw him pitch on, I guess a few weeks ago on TV. The breaking balls he threw were very nice. His control was pretty spotty. So, you know, but the thing with Kazmir is he's always been wild. He's been effectively wild. So I guess we'll just see what happens. You know, I think that's why they're taking the gamble. And it's just, I think it makes sense. You let him run for a month, and if his arm falls off and he goes off the tracks, well, whatever. You've got Carrasco. You've got, you know.
Yeah, it's a lot different when a guy like Scott Kazmir's arm stops working and a guy like Trevor Bauer's arm stops working. So I think right. They're going to try and get all the mileage they can out of it and then go from there.
I think Bob had a throw-in comment
about it. I was going to say that. That article I referenced before in a previous podcast from the New York Daily News, where it was mentioning Kazmir, obviously you mentioned no significant arm injury, but like the small injuries you have, whether it be like an oblique or a groin, one of those things was nagging him for a while, which led him to overcompensate and tweak his mechanics to something else, which led to something else, and just snowballed to the point where the combination of that plus obviously he wasn't having success, the confidence factor kind of added into diminished velocity.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, I think they're going in optimistic, but, you know, this is why they want to get Carrasco's suspension out of the way. And the way they're starting the season off, I'll admit, is convoluted. But when you really look at it, it makes sense to get things lined up the way they want. This is what they have to do. Phelps didn't make the team, Cord Phelps. He was sent down to AAA. Yan Gomes was sent down to AAA. Those are guys that I think will be back at some point in the year. When Marcin struggles enough that Terry Francona's had enough of him, I think Yan Gomes will be back. When Ryan Rayburn, you know, drops off the planet like he tends to do at one point or another, I think that's when Cord Phelps will make another reappearance. We'll see how Giambi plays out. McGinnis was sent back to Texas yesterday. They didn't work out a trade with them. So McGinnis is out of the organization again. So those are the roster moves. You know, when I look at the team compared to the last couple teams, I have a lot of optimism. The offense is just completely different. I mean, you've got 1 through 9 guys who can really attack the ball. You know, they can hit it out of the park. They can hit for doubles and they can run. There's going to be a lot of first to third on balls to the outfield. The bullpen, you know, it could probably be the best in the American League. It was close a year ago, and I think it's gotten better with the addition of Rich Hill. You know, Tony Sipp was kind of a wild card.
Oh, yeah.
You throw him out there, you don't know what you're going to get. You got Scott Barnes a year older, Nick Hagedorn a year older, Cody Allen a year older. The pitching is the wild card. I think it will probably improve, but it remains to be seen how much from last year. And realistically, the pitching staff could probably look a lot different by the end of the year. You know, right now you've got Masterson, Jimenez, Myers, McAllister, and Kazmir. By the end of the year, your rotation really could be realigned almost to a Bauer, Carrasco, Masterson, and then an either Jimenez or Myers, Kazmir, McAllister, something to fill out those last two spots. So we'll see what happens. The opening night, they've got April 2nd. They actually don't play the first day, the traditional opening day. So they play April 2nd at night against the Blue Jays. It'll be Masterson against Dickey. So that'll be interesting to see R.A. Dickey's knuckleball there on opening day and see how the Indians handle that. And then they've got Jimenez versus Morrow and Myers versus Burley before they head to Tampa.
I have a question for you, Jason. What are the chances do you see or we see Dice K ever make an appearance for Cleveland this season?
Make an appearance? I would take the affirmative on make an appearance. Make an extended stay? I don't know. he pitched really well yesterday, I will say. He actually looked probably the best all spring yesterday. He pitched four innings, you know, because he's behind after he had that calf injury. He missed some time when everybody else was building up, and then the innings kind of got short, you know, as people want to rack up some endurance. I'm happy that he accepted the deal to go to the minor leagues. I'm happy Matt Capps accepted it. Dice K was very willing. Matt Capps was not, but I don't think he could find a major league job. So I think Dice K will pitch at some point. I don't know if he'll stay, though. His fastball velocity hasn't returned, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, on that note also, I'll be attending the Pirates opening day against the Cubs.
That's right.
AJ Burnett will be throwing against Jeff Samardzija there. My girlfriend got me tickets to opening day. I don't think she understands. Bob and I went to opening day last year for the Tribe.
Oh, my goodness.
Games up north. It's not like going to opening day in Miami, where it's nice and the weather's fun. We went to the third or fourth longest opening day game in history last year? 17-inning marathon.
We left that ballpark that day not liking Chris Perez, that's for sure.
Chris. Well, and on that point, it's going to be interesting because Chris Perez says he's going to be ready for opening day. It's a repeat of last year. He's only going to have maybe two or three appearances. He appeared today, gave up a two-run homer in the seventh inning, I think. So it'll be pretty interesting if it's the ninth inning against the Blue Jays on opening day, Chris Perez gets the call again, to see how that plays out.
I'll tell you, after my experience last year, I'm hoping Jason Greeley has no such issues on opening day for a save situation, because I love free baseball typically, but once that sun went down and the wind was whipping off Lake Erie, you're just sitting there shaking like a hairless cat in the stands. I didn't even want to finish my Yingling. I was just like, oh, please, just someone hit a home run and end this game. I can't feel my toes. It's awful. So, yeah, I'll be experiencing opening day. I'm sure I'll send out some interesting tweets about what's going on.
But you also experienced a different type of exhibition this Saturday, I believe, right?
Yeah, actually, and Saturday I'll be going down to see the Pittsburgh Pirates tune up against the Altoona Curve. So I'm assuming, I've never been to one of these games before, but I'm assuming it's kind of like a typical spring training game. You know, they throw their couple innings, get their work in when they need to, so they're ready for opening day. But yeah, I'll be at the Altoona Curve Pittsburgh Pirates game as well, so that'll be fun. And then Jason and I will be at the Erie Seawolves game down in Section 108. So if you're at the Seawolves game, come on down and say, hey, we'll be the two nerdy guys down there. With
right behind home plate with clipboards. And
clipboards, taking notes, taking pictures, videos, all kinds of stuff, yeah. So come say hey. We'll talk. We love baseball. Well, that's about it for today. We're going to keep it kind of short, so thanks for tuning in. You can check us out on the web at www.tsmbaseball.com. You can email us, tristatebb@tsmbaseball.com. You can follow us on the Twitter at tristatebb. And you can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/tsmbaseball. So, for Bob and Jason, this is Andy Burdick, and we'll see you next time.